So I'm going to read that verse from the New King James Version one more time from Psalm 92. And it's interesting, on Wednesday night I go to a men's Bible study because I need to get, you know, a place where I go to get fed, you know. And it's a really great Bible study. John Walters is usually there. Terry goes, and Terry Brown usually can come when he's been ill lately. But they were reading this psalm on Wednesday night, and I had been working all day on the message. So that was really cool as a confirmation. But in the New King James Version, which I say many of the songs that come from this psalm come from that version or the King James Version, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And this psalm, the whole psalm, is prefaced by a little thing in fine print. If you read it, it says, a song for the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath was a day of rest and rejoicing, and it expressed the well-being of a person who had a relationship, a right relationship with God. So this verse, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. In this verse, I want to expound that goodness. What is the goodness in giving thanks? And it's going to be showing, in a sense, that there are many happy returns. You know, you say, happy birthday, many happy returns of the day. Well, of that day, well, there are many happy returns that come from thanksgiving. And if we had no other motive to give thanks, no other motive to have gratitude and giving of thanks than our personal happiness, our emotional well-being, or our physiological well-being, because they say that having a grateful attitude gives you health, you know, they say that. Well, if there was no other reason, then those are good reasons to give thanks. But there are more. It is a good thing to be thankful. Giving thanks is good because it's ethically right. It's ethically right to give thanks. It's always right to pay what we owe, and we owe a great debt to God. And in the area of God's blessings, we all of us owe Him thanksgiving. All of us. Not one of us can get by with saying, oh, I have nothing to be thankful for. Because there are so many blessings, and sometimes it's just our vision that we don't see those blessings. But if we stop and look around and think about it, then all of a sudden we say, yes, we got to fill the thanksgiving. And the ability to pay it back, the ability to pay back thanksgiving and repay God with gratitude, no one is bankrupt in that area. All of us can do it. All of us can do it. We can pay it back by thanksgiving. So all that we value, everything that we value, comes as gifts from the Creator. Everything. We think about all the things we have that are valuable. And this Sabbath psalm celebrates the day that God rested from His work of creation. And how we celebrate His gracious created gifts, the gifts that He created for us, how we do that is with thanksgiving. It's by thanking Him for those things. Now, there's a song, Count Your Blessings. Counting our blessings helps us realize our wealth. It helps us realize our wealth. You know, people that are hoarders, that sometimes they put money down a wall or hide it someplace, they never count it, and they never know that they're actually rich. They don't need to do that. They're rich. But they never counted their money. They just kept putting it away. And we are rich too. We are rich. And how we find out how rich we are is by counting our blessings. Name them one by one, that song says. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. So blessings come in a lot of different ways. They come in a lot of different forms, relationships. That's one of the main things I heard in people giving thanks today was relationships, family, relatives, friends, neighbors, the church family. A lot of people thanked God for the church family. Our abilities, five senses. I mean, we don't think about them very often, but our five senses are very, very important to us. And if we lose them, we don't like it. You know, our health, we had thanksgiving for that. Our speech, the ability to speak, the ability to read, You know, some people don't know how to read in this world. They're not literate. They've never been taught literacy. Memory. Our memory. That's an important gift. And when we lose it, well, we don't remember that we lost it. So, skills. I mean, God has allowed us to have life. And during our life, we have gotten skills. And sometimes it seems like there's an inbuilt talent that some people have with singing or writing or whatever, or doing art. And you say, wow, it just had to work its way out, you know? And it was a talent on the inside. All of those things. Our mobility, the ability to move. That sometimes, whenever these kinds of things are taken away, they're a great loss. Why are they a loss? Because they were a great blessing, and that's why they are a loss. And if they were a great blessing, we need to be thankful for them. And if we had them, we need to thank God for the time that we did have them, if we've lost some of them. You know, possessions, cars, homes, furniture, clothes, jewelry. You know, young people, they are more interested and attached to those things. But as you grow older, you're less attached to those kinds of things. What becomes more important are keepsakes, photographs, mementos, things that help you remember relationships. Those become they're more precious as you grow older. While I was at my mom's, now my mom and dad both came here before they died. When I was at my mom's, and I was focused on taking care of her because she had a brain tumor, and a young couple that they had met in their neighborhood visited with some very tragic news. The husband's mother had just died of a heart attack at age 46. Here my mom was in her 74, I think she was going to be 75. And here this lady had died at age 46. And the sudden tragedy drew our minds away from what we were dealing with to focus on them. And and focus on their problems. And this fellow said, you know, how sad Thanksgiving, this was right before Thanksgiving, and he said, how sad Thanksgiving is going to be without my mom. And I encouraged him. I said, you need to write down the things that you were thankful for your mom. Make it as thorough as you can. And you know what? This Thanksgiving may turn out to be one of the most meaningful Thanksgivings you've ever had, because you were thankful for your mama, for your mother. We all grieve our losses. But why do we grieve them? Because they were blessings. They were great blessings, and when we lose them, we grieve. So while we have them, and when we have had them and we've enjoyed them, these are gifts that we enjoyed from God, and we need to pay Him back. And we really never can repay Him. But Thanksgiving is one way we can. We can thank God for these blessings. So it's good to give thanks to the Lord, because it's right. It's right. It's our ethical duty. And duties, we know, are not often pleasant. But this one is. Because it says, the giving of thanks is good because it is emotionally pleasant. It is emotionally pleasant. Pleasure is God's idea. It's not Satan's idea. Some people say, well, there's so much pleasure in that. It must be Satan getting you distracted through that pleasure. No, God wants us to enjoy the pleasurable things. He gave Eve and Adam a whole garden full of wonderful fruit, beautiful paradise. And what did they focus on? What we can't have. And isn't that the way people are? They're not. They say, well, I don't have that. Oh, you don't? But look what you do have. But I don't have this and this and that and this and that, you know. There was a song that came out on the radio one time. It really depicted our society. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me this. Give me. That was the underlying theme. But they were actually showing up how that everybody is taking in. But they don't realize what they already have. So, pleasure. God wants us to have pleasure. But temptations go beyond the healthy limits that God sets for pleasures. And they can actually turn into pains. You know that if you eat something that really gives you pleasure to eat, but you eat too much, what you're going to have to pay with pain, right? And it happens. But the attitude of gratitude is also something that it's a component of mental health. They know this. That it, you can read about it. The attitude of gratitude is a component of good mental health. It's opposite. The opposite of gratitude. The bitter, disgruntled, self-centered attitude of complaining. Right? That always is emotionally draining. It emotionally drains people to complain. It does. It's destructive in our lives, that complaining attitude. But thanksgiving is a form of praise. It's a form of praise. Actually, it's a prelude to praise. There is no word in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, that is specifically used for thanksgiving to God. There is not. It's always in connection and related to praise. And we look at the exuberant joy that we can have. You know, we say, I'm happy, I'm really happy for this joy. But the joy sometimes diminishes. And our abiding joy, the joy that diminishes in thanksgiving sometimes for things that we get, the abiding joy is not in the things. The abiding joy is in the giver. The gifts, we're happy with them, but then sometimes they become normal again. It's a part of our life, and we don't think about them. That's the problem. We don't think about the gifts. But the thing is, when that diminishes, we still have this abiding joy in our giver, the creator, who gave us these things. And that's why this verse begins with thanks, but it moves on to sing praises. It starts with thanks, but it moves on to sing praises. Here's another psalm that does the same thing, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's just the gates. But enter his courts with praise. You're closer to him when you do that. You have praise. Give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. So there's a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Thanking God still has an element of self-focus in it. When we're thankful, what are we thankful for? We're happy with what we received. We're happy because we got something, we received something, we feel good. And we feel good about acknowledging the source of that. And that makes us feel good. So thanksgiving makes us feel good, but the gift also makes us feel good. So there's a little bit of selfishness in a sense. Not a bad selfishness in a way, but there's a, you know, I love you, Lord, because you make me happy. I love you because you make me happy. Well, praise focuses on God as he is. Just as he is. We feel happy in contemplating and in expressing his grandeur. You know, I adore you, Lord, because you are holy. You are just. You are true. You are faithful. You're worthy of all glory, laud, and praise, and honor. And we think about that. And if we can praise God and offer praise apart from what we receive, apart from the benefits that we receive from him personally, then we can end up praising God in any situation. Whether we are impoverished or we're in plenty. You know, we have plenty or we don't have very much. We have privation. We're deprived of things. We can still say, but I praise the Lord. I praise the maker of heaven and earth. So it's not dependent on receiving gifts. It's dependent on who he is. That's what praise is about. Now, joy naturally expresses itself in song. Now, in this verse, in the New International Version, is why I didn't choose it. It just talks about music. But there's music is an instrument, that's fine. But when we use our lips and sing, it's a little bit different than just music. We make the music. Our voices make the music. And it's like we as humans, we long to join with the natural rhythm of creation. We long to join with that whenever we get happy. You know, babies. Rosemary and I are taking care of our granddaughter. We're watching her grow, and she's starting to learn how to clap her hands. But I've seen her when music happens and she's happy, she goes back and forth. She rocks. It's just natural for little kids to do that. It's built into them. And we look at birds in nature. We look at young people. They start some music. What do they start doing? They start moving their feet. They want to dance. And birds, the sun comes out. It's a beautiful day. And what are they doing? They're just making the most beautiful melody. We have is it a mockingbird, Rosemary, that's in our yard that makes that beautiful? I don't know. Beautiful sounds. Beautiful chirping because they're happy about nature. All nature sings and round us rings the beauty of the spheres. From that song, All Creatures of Our God and King. Song is built into the human spirit. James in chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So if you get happy inside, go ahead. Sing them. Sing songs of praise. Throughout history, happy lovers have filled volumes of poetic verse. It's all lost in time. Not all of it. I've memorized some of that old stuff. But, you know, it's like, yeah, it gets lost in time, but the expression of it, you can open a volume and there it is. These happy lovers talking about love. They're happy, and what do? They put it into rhythmic rhyme, almost like a song. But how much greater and lasting, everlasting actually, is praise to the eternal God. You know, there's so many old hymns. Sometimes I go online and I look down the list of old hymns and I see the ones that we sing. They're just a here and there. There are gobs and gobs of old hymns that have been written that praise the Lord. And modern songs. You know, modern songs, they keep coming out so fast we can't learn them all. And we can't remember them after we've learned them. You know? And we won't learn those old hymns until we get to heaven. We'll probably get to, after about 100,000 years, say, anybody writing new songs? Oh, they've always been writing new songs, and so we'll get to hear new ones that are being written in heaven, I think. Thanksgiving offers many, many happy returns. It's good to thank the Lord. It's good to give thanks to God because it's right. And it's pleasant. But there's something else. Many people measure progress and success in results. They want some practical results. Is it practical? Does it really work? And Christians need to know, and they need to show that yes, it does work. Yes, it does work. Giving thanks is good because it's spiritually effective. It does work. It works spiritually. A thanksgiving that leads us into songs of praise moves us out of our self-centeredness into a God-centeredness. It just moves our attention and our thinking and our attitude into a God-centeredness. Now, self can hinder us loving others. We might say, do I have to give up my time, my effort, my plans, my resources, just so I can show that I care for those people? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And the very reason that you ask that is that it seems to be contrary to what you want to do. But thanksgiving, and it resolves that problem. We thank the Lord, it resolves that problem. Our attention is turned back to God. Our focus is on the giver, the one who has given us so many things, so many gifts. Lord, all I have is from your hand, and let me use my time and my energy for your glory. That's the attitude. That praise gives us back our right mind. And we are able to let the selfishness go. Thanksgiving and songs of praise drive off spiritual enemies. You know, Satan despises the testimony of God's blessings. He does not want to hear about it. He does not. In fact, in those in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says that they overcame Satan by the word of their testimony. They gave testimony about what God had done. And Luther, when he was Martin Luther, when he was having a conversation with his fellow theologian Melanchthon, he said, "Come, Melanchthon, let us sing a psalm and drive away the devil." let us sing a psalm and drive away the devil. Yeah, because he believed it. He believed when you start singing, the devil's got his hands over his ears, he's trying to get it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. So that's your, you have trouble with the devil, you have trouble with temptation, start praising the Lord. Start giving thanks. And grateful praise dispels doubt and discouragement. In Acts 16, there was a night that it was a midnight. Paul and Silas had been locked up in prison. They'd been beaten. They were in chains for sharing the gospel. And they were praying and they were singing hymns. After having been beaten, after having been suffering, they were singing hymns. And it says in the verse that the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, it blessed them to do that. Even in the midst of all the suffering they were going through, it blessed them to be giving thanks. But it also blessed others. It blessed others. And thanksgiving that flows from into these songs of praise can lead others to be interested in being grateful. Maybe they want to be more grateful. It can even help them seek salvation. Because when the jailer who had been hearing Paul and Silas singing, when there's an earthquake that happened and all the jail doors went open, he thought everybody escaped and he was going to commit suicide. And Paul and Silas told him to stop, don't. And then he got saved after that. He asked God into Christ into his heart. It's like John Wesley. He was a discouraged and still unconverted person. And yet he had gone on a missionary journey to America. And it had been a failed missionary trip to America. And he was on his way back by boat. And he was fearing for his life because there was a severe storm. And he heard a group of Moravians that were singing to God in the midst of the storm. And he longed for their assurance of salvation. He said, oh, if I could just have that kind of faith, then I know I would be right with the Lord. Well, later on, though, that experience has led him step by step to finding his new birth of asking Christ really into his heart and making sure of his salvation at a Moravian prayer meeting on Aldersgate. We call it the great Aldersgate event in John Wesley's life. That was what it was. So there are many happy returns from Thanksgiving. And it's right to do it. It's a pleasant thing to do. It makes us happy. And it works. It works in many ways for our own spiritual well-being. And who knows? Our attitude of gratitude might be shared with others. I mean, it may draw a neighbor that's listening to us be thankful. It may draw them into an attitude of gratitude, or it may even draw them to Christ, because that's why we have it. So let's enjoy Thanksgiving. I mean, the day of Thanksgiving has come up, but let's enjoy and give thanks to the Lord, not just as an annual event, as an annual remembrance that, oh yes, I'm supposed to be thankful. Let's do this every day of the year. Every day and every day of the year. Let's be thankful throughout the year. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this journey you have given us that is filled with so many blessings. And I pray, Father God, that we will be constantly aware of your gifts. The things that you have brought into our lives, some of these have been removed. I mean, certain locations, certain family friends, sometimes they've been removed, and we won't see those kinds of won't have that kind of happiness until we get to heaven again. But we can be happy for the time that you have given them to us, and we're still enjoying so many other things that you are giving to us. Father God, help us to have grateful hearts that turn into the action of thanksgiving, and that lead us right into songs of praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.